Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I trust that we're here because we want to hear from the Lord. We want to be encouraged and challenged this morning by the preaching of God's word. And we're here for that. I believe that God is going to speak to us. Maybe we can just bow and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that we were able to sing here this morning. We thank you for your words that were brought to us already this morning. And Lord, we're here because we want to hear, Father, from you. We want to be taught by you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would, again this morning, that you would minister to the needs that we have. We recognize this morning, Lord, that we are a needy people and that we often fall short of the expectations that we put on ourselves and what often that you want us to do. And we just thank you that this morning that we can stand before you knowing that you were willing to suffer and die on the cross and that you rose again, that we might have newness of life, that we can stand here with confidence knowing that we're your children. I just pray, Lord, that you would be with those that are not here this morning, those that are traveling, that are visiting other places. We just commit them to you and just pray that they could be a blessing and encouragement to the people there. We thank you and we just want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple of verses that I'd like to start with in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 5. Something that I think we do well in doing often is what the verses say here, starting in verse 5. In the NIV, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things. When I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, but not for tearing you down. I think we do well to ponder that and to take time and analyze where our life is and where we're headed. The last time I was up here, I taught about teaching our children and why we do that and what our goals are and the benefits of doing that. And this morning, the title of my message is to be a good teacher to be a good teacher, things that we must be is also to be teachable. I'm assuming that most of us probably have heard the same message coming from different people. And there's some people that they can speak to you admonition or encouragement, or and it's very hard to receive it. And the next person can say the exact same message, and we can accept it and appreciate it. And I'm not saying that sometimes it is our problem, but sometimes it is also the teacher. The teacher has some things that they need to learn. And so this morning, I would just like for us to, as we go through these verses, as we look at scripture, as we just ponder these things, I'd like for us to analyze ourselves as God's people. Where do we stand? How are we presenting ourselves as we are trying to encourage people, as we're trying to teach our families, as we're trying to be disciples for Jesus? How are we teaching, and how are we, the things that we're teaching, are we also learning? We present ourselves in probably at least one of two ways. The person who has all the answers, who comes across like they are always right, who demands that you learn from them. Or number two, the person who is learning and sharing what they have learned. Talks about how they learn those things and is just as excited to learn from you for things that you are learning. The one we see, a person that it seems like things are all coming from one direction, but the other person is learning and is also willing and excited about learning from you. And our desire, I believe, is to be like that person. But I think we do well to just analyze our lives and see where we fall in. I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 12 and just look at the end of the chapter here. I know these verses are talking about giving of our possessions here. We see Jesus noticed someone in these verses here, going down to verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So what does this have to do with our ministering to each other, teaching, learning? In life, we meet people that seems like they have everything going for them. They have everything they want and need and even more. And sometimes I think we fall in one of these categories in this, and we watch these people with much, and they give more than most people. And sometimes we find ourselves falling in with this lady, this widow. She didn't have very much to give, at least from human eyes. And we watch the people that have lots, and they give more than most people do. And we feel intimidated by them and feel like, well, they're doing plenty. My 2 cents isn't really going to make much difference. And so we don't bother. But Jesus points out to his disciples here, this widow, and what she did. She gave everything that she had. We had at work, and there was many a testimonies of this young man by the name of Cameron. He could outdo all of us without even trying. But he always did his work in a way that motivated the rest of us that had lesser abilities and were more fearful than him when it came to heights. He always made room for those and encouraged those. Yes, he had his way of speaking to us when we messed up. And I don't know all the terms he used, but I heard him saying, it's like, well, that was stupid. And what he really meant by that was, if you hung out with him a lot, he was encouraging you. Oh, and if you didn't know him, you thought maybe he was harsh, but he gave everything he had, and his desire was to see others climb up and do that too to their ability. And I see Jesus here pointing out in these verses here, just pointing that out, that the one that was giving everything was the one that he noticed in human eyes. They didn't have very much to offer. But Jesus saw the person giving out of love, in that the fruits of that is very motivational. And the benefits that we get as we watch, as we observe people doing that, it's not the, as human eyes, we look at something and we put value to it in a physical sense. And the fruits of that single act, and we often don't see the benefits, or don't see when someone gives from their heart and they give with passion and compassion, and the fruits that will bear way beyond that incident. And so as we, whether we do it in physical sense or in giving materially or teaching, or that if it's coming from the heart and we're giving it all we have, that those are the things that are really going to speak to the people around us. We turn to Acts chapter 8. We read through this chapter, we see that there was a lot of teaching and learning going on in this chapter. Starting in verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout regions in Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which for a time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and prayed, and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Then here in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and you know, of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And they answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the, you know, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So here we see the piece here, the Ethiopian, and I noticed that as I was reading that chapter, a man of importance. He had an important spot in life, but he was seeking to understand scripture. And we can see that he was in a teachable moment. And Philip came, he was listening to God, and he heard God speaking to him, and he was in a teachable moment, so to speak, and went in a direction because he was led there by the Spirit of God, and he came to him and heard him reading scripture, and he started listening to what he had to say, and probably there was conversation going on, and questions were asked, and Philip had an opportunity to teach. And he presented scripture and himself in a way that this man could listen. And he was able to receive God's word. And he was able, because he was a teachable man, even though he had status, he was a teachable man. And God met with him that day because of that and was taught about the Lord and received Jesus into his life. In James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What's the promise that we see here? If we're in need, if we're trying to understand, and we want answers, the promise is here that he's going to help us to understand. He's not just going to leave us, but he's going to help us. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof tells us that he's stupid. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. When we consider the things of the Lord, and we ponder them, and we seek them, and we ask God to give us understanding, He's going to meet our needs. As we look at a teachable heart, if I'm teachable, I just like to look at some of those things that we see coming out of our lives. Having a willing heart. A willing heart. When God asked Philip to do something, we see a willing heart. He was willing to, it would seem like, go out of his way to, he didn't know what he was going after, but he was willing to take that journey. Able to listen. Philip had time to listen to God's Spirit. Able to have conversation. Having conversations with our God. Accepts correction. As God's people, whether it's from the Lord or whether it's from his people, accepting correction, is able to learn from anyone, is able to find delight in something each day. Is able to find delight in something each day. Seems like we had that conversation in our prayer group this morning. We are often, I'll say, thankful people, or we find ourselves complaining. And the thought was left that, well, something in between isn't pleasing to the Lord. He wants us to find delight in something. We can be going through hard things and think there was scripture pointed out about the children of Israel this morning and their journey through the wilderness, and Moses' testimony about them was that they were a complaining people. There was lots of things that took place that they could have seen the hand of God working. But when we have our focus on the things that didn't go the way that we thought they were going to go, when life is harder than we expected it to be, and our focus is on that, and we're just frustrated by that, we miss most everything else that's going on around us. And the last one here that I have is able to share what we've learned. These are some of the things that come out of a life that has a teachable heart, that is a teacher, that is a godly teacher. These are the kinds of things that we will see coming out of our lives. And as we observe people with these kinds of fruits coming from their lives, it does something to us. It motivates us. It makes us want to learn from them. it makes us want to be a people like them. The heart that is not willing to learn, in Proverbs 15, verse 32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. He's not able to listen. He's not learning or growing. And these types of people, this type of heart, comes across often as, I have it all figured out. We find ourselves, when we're in this situation, we find ourselves having arguments instead of learning. We're disagreeing. In Proverbs 15, verse 12, conceited people do not like to be corrected. They never ask for advice from those that are wiser than them. So this is some of the fruits that we see coming from when we have this kind of heart. Some of the fruits that we see coming from those that are teachable, just again pointing out these, the benefits that we see coming from those when we are living this life. A teachable, humble person. Three things that I think that we benefit that are just a benefit. It's not the reason that we do these things, but it's the reality of what happens. You'll be a more likable person. You'll be wiser. You'll find that you have less conflict in your life as you learn to listen and as we're taught of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, tells us that pride leads to arguments. Who enjoys that? It doesn't leave us feeling energized, but it leaves us feeling angry and empty. We turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The first 10 verses here, a familiar passage, I believe. But we see Samuel here as an example of someone that is listening. And he didn't have the answers, but he was wanting to learn. And he asked questions until he understood what was going on. Starting in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again, and he went and lay down. Here's a message for you as children. Do you think that Samuel was used to when Eli called him, he was used to responding and doing and doing what he wanted him to do? It would appear as he was used to listening. When dad called or mom calls, what do we do? Do we pretend like, well, I'm busy right now, and I have things that I want to do, and I wait till mom calls three or five times, or she gets a little more firmer, and then finally I say, what do you want? We hear in this, we see here that Samuel responded, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord called, came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. We see here that Samuel was used to listening. He heard the voices that were being spoken and the commandments or the call that was given to him, and he was used to responding. And because of that, he heard what the Lord had to say. He was teachable. He didn't miss the opportunity that was before him. As we observe our lives, do we fall in this category here with Samuel? He heard a voice calling his name. He knew that somebody wanted his attention. And he wasn't even sure for a while who it was. He kept responding the first time. He went and was told to go back to bed, that you're mistaken. I wasn't talking to you. The second and the third time. How many of us would, like, well, yeah, it's nothing. I'm just going to do my own thing and miss out on those opportunities. In chapter 16 of Samuel here, in 1 Samuel, the Lord was speaking unto Samuel here. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. In verse 2 here, Samuel's questioning that, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he's going to kill me. So God was asking him to do something that he saw as dangerous, and he was questioning it. God didn't even respond to that question in this verse anyway. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice the Lord. He just told him what to do, and he went. We drop down to verse 7 here. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Here, if we just back up a little bit, his first son had come, and he thought surely Eliab was the chosen one, and he thought for sure this was the right man to be anointed that was before him, and he was listening to the Lord. He was able to be guided and taught. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the heights of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And this happened again and again until seven sons had passed before them. In verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch for him. We will not sit down till he come hither. And we know, as the story goes, that as David came, and the Lord told him that this was the young man that was ready for the job and was to be anointed as king. Again, here, if Samuel would have settled for his own understanding and looked at the outward things, which God said that the way he looks at things and the way we tend to is something different. And so we see Samuel here again being taught from the Lord, being guided. And that is, as a man of God, he was being taught and teachable and learning and guiding at the same time. And that's the encouragement that I would like to just encourage us in, is how are we doing in this area? Are we guiding as we're taught, or are we leaning on our own abilities, our own understanding, the things that seem right? As Jesus pointed out there in Mark, he pointed out that widow lady. She gave everything. Her heart was in her giving, and she was teaching. She was being taught. She was trusting God. And it was noted to her. Are we just giving we're giving more than most people are, but we're just actually doing it to get by. So again, I'd like to come back in closing here to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And would just challenge and encourage each one of us as we consider these things. Are we willing to examine ourselves in this area in our lives? Whether we are in the faith in these areas, whether we're being good teachers, and as we're teaching, that we're also being teachable, that we're learning. We see many examples in God's word that as they led out, that they were being taught by the Lord. They were being taught by God's people. Almost never did they come upon a scene and they had the answers. Samuel, when he heard his voice, his name being called, he heard God's voice calling him, but he didn't know what it was all about. He didn't know where it was going to take him. When Samuel was called to anoint David, he was told to go to Jesse's house. He wasn't told that he was to find David and to anoint him. But he was presented with his sons, his brothers, and tells us there that Samuel thought, yep, must be this one. He looks like he's up for the job. But he was listening. He was being taught by the Lord. And God said, no. It's someone else. And that continued to happen till they came to David. As we teach, which person are we? Are we that person who comes to situations and I have all the answers, I have my ideas already figured out and there's no changing them. And we demand that all the learning happens from me. Or am I that person who is learning and sharing what God is showing me? And sharing the things that I've already learned? And is excited to hear from those that are learning things. As we think about fathers being fathers and mothers, sometimes these things can be difficult things for us to practice in our own homes. Because as parents, our family starts with little babies, little children, and we're doing all the teaching. We're teaching them everything that they need to learn. But if our children are in our homes long enough, one day we wake up and our little children are now adults. And they also are hearing from God and learning. Yes, they make mistakes along the way. they have things to share? Are we that parent that is excited to learn with them, to learn from them? As we just consider those things, just examine how teachable are we in these areas? How much do we hear from God and learn along the way? I trust that is our heart this morning. Our desire is to be those kinds of leaders in our homes, in our churches, in our workplace. Wherever God has us, we have a responsibility. And God wants to teach us along the way. It doesn't seem like very often that He gives us the full picture and we have all the answers long before it happens. So may God bless you as we analyze our lives in these areas and as we allow God to teach us, to make us into the people that He would have us to be. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for teaching us. We thank You for calling us and for making us into the people that You want us to be. We thank You that You show us when we make the wrong decision. I pray this morning, Lord, that You would give us ears that can hear and hearts that can apply to things that You tell us. Lord, we desire to bear fruit for You, to be teachable leaders. We thank You for the many blessings we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.